What it do? This is the War Room with P-Mac. P-Mac, that's P-Mac. I am you. That's the letter, not the word. And today, we're here, and we're going to look at draft strategies. This show is about draft strategies and off-season strategies to see more, not just about a three-peat, but how to move forward in the most, in the best way we know how, especially over there, the mastermind himself, P-Mac. What's going on, man?
What is going on, Thiz? Thank you guys for jumping on here today on another episode of the War Room with P-Mac presented by Chiefs Focus. It's been a wild year in terms of the free agency period and the draft preparation, as it is in every other area. Thiz and I will provide you guys with the viewers' front office insight into the offseason needs for the Chiefs after the first period of free agency, identify how putting the right pieces together will lead to success this upcoming season, hopefully becoming the first team ever to three-peat. So let's go on with our first segment, Thiz.
First of all, I got to say this. The idea of a three-peat is born just more than just the noble thought. The idea of a three-peat has never happened. It has never happened in the NFL.
Never happened.
And so for those, most of you all know, but some of you all don't know, this never happened in the NFL. It's happened in baseball, happened in basketball, it's happened in, I want to say even hockey. I'm not a super hockey fan, but, you know, it's happening in the big, the big sports, except for football. And that's what makes the NFL so the way it is because they have built into their mainframe, they have built the randomness. That's the word I'm going to use because I can't think of another one right now. They have built that randomness into their system. That's the whole point of the draft. That's the whole point of the draft order being the way it is. The loser gets to go first, you know, and the winners get to go last, get to pick last, because they built that into their mainframe to make sure that everybody gets a chance in an effort to build a better product. Instead of doing the lottery draft, instead of doing all that, they just decided the loser gets to go first. Now, of course, that makes some tanking a little bit, but, you know, that doesn't mean you're actually going to win a Super Bowl. It's so difficult to win a Super Bowl. We can't say it's easy. So, like I said, the NFL has built that competition into their mainframe, and it works. That's one of the reasons why no one has ever been able to three-peat. So, since we ain't got nothing else right now, let's get into it. We have had some re-signings recently, and we're here to talk about them. So the name of the show is What's the Next Move?
Yeah, what is the next move? Definitely. And before we get to the re-signings, we're going to start off with a big new signing that Chiefs fans have been coveting for almost – the beginning of this offseason period, and that is a wide receiver opposite Rashee Rice and somebody who can open up for not only Rashee Rice, but Big Yeti, Travis Kelce. And they have done that this past weekend by adding a new weapon for Patrick Mahomes, and that is none other than former Ravens and Cardinals wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown, as he lands in a perfect spot with the Chiefs on a one-year deal worth up to $11 million with a chance to cash in next year. During his final year in Baltimore in 2021, Brown had 91 catches, over 1,008 yards, and 6 touchdowns. During 26 games over 2 seasons with Arizona, Brown had, you know, 118 catches for 1,283 yards and 7 touchdowns. You could look at him as somebody to replace MVS as the main deep threat for the Chiefs. And when you compare them in catches, Hollywood Brown has only a 4% drop rate. MVS had 7% drop rate. Kadarius Toney, 13% drop rate. So this is a big move for Kansas City, somebody who's a better pass catcher, effective deep threat guy. And also, if you hear about what was said about him coming into the 2019 draft class compared to him and Mecole Hardman, yes, Mecole was the better deep threat, but Marquise is the superior route runner compared to Mecole Hardman. And matching Brown, who wins with his 4.33 speed in the short and deep areas, with Patrick Mahomes, who keeps opposing defenses, especially safeties, nervous and wins with passes in the short and intermediate areas of the field, is a win. And Brown is a legit deep threat who opens up the field the same way DeSean Jackson did in Philly, and also Tyreek used to do for Andy Reid's schemes when he was in KC. And Brown will be able to be a capable complement to Rashee Rice. Make no mistake, Rice is the number one wide receiver in KC, but Brown will help spread the defense's attention on one side while Brown stretches one side. You know, tight ends Travis Kelce and Noah Gray are going to give linebackers fits in the middle of the field. So that's a big thing for us. And in other news, going to our re-signings, the Chiefs retained some of their key pieces in the interior defensive line unit by re-signing Derek Nnadi, big Mike Pinnell, a.k.a. Godzilla, because he terrorized Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey that game. He was one that forced that fumble on Christian McCaffrey to be on the Niners' first drive, and also Tershawn Wharton to one-year deals. Derek Nnadi, who is 27, started all 17 games each in the past two seasons. In 2023, he played almost 500 snaps, 498 snaps, got 29 tackles, a sack, and a pass deflection. Pinnell, who joined the practice squad in late October, got three appearances during the regular season before playing in all four of the Chiefs' postseason games, getting over 40 snaps in both the divisional round and Super Bowl 58, and earned the second best defensive Pro Football Focus grade of any player in the game. And the Chiefs hope to see Pinnell add to those totals as with his second tour of duty with the team as it continues in 2024. And then you go to Wharton, and I gotta say, first episode, he was one of those guys I said let him test the market, and I was hoping that they wouldn't bring him back. It's nothing against Wharton, it's just that I just didn't see the same explosion, but from what we hear, that he's had a better season in 2023, almost looking like his old self from 2020 when he was brought in as an undrafted free agent. And he had two sacks and, you know, five quarterback hits in all 17 games, and he contributed in a reverse role. But he started one game and has been a consistent part of the Chiefs' defensive nucleus since he signed in 2020. It was a wise move to bring him back. Who's a solid member of that defensive line, who's been with Chris Jones and also helping out Carl Loftus, and also ushering in Amanahue and Felix DK Uzama. And once again, you got to remember, Wharton has bounced back, especially this year after suffering an ACL tear in 2022. Because if we remember, beginning 2022, he was looking like his old self, but I was starting to see him trying to get the rust off, and maybe that was what my criticism was not seeing that he was getting the rust off, but it makes sense why they bring him back. And he either plays alongside Chris Jones or in relief of Chris Jones, depending on whatever happens to one of him or Pinnell or Nnadi. But he's very essential to Spags' game plan. So
that's what I was going to make sure I tell you, that there's always rust, and then after you get rid of the rust, you got to worry about you got to think about, I'm sure the thought process is not re-injury, because he wants to be a part of the game plan. So I like Turk. I didn't think we'd be able to get him back because the league is looking for passers and pass rushers. So, you know,
three technique guys his size too, and there's a lot of them in his upcoming draft class too.
I thought the Saints might take him instead of taking Willie Gay, but because they're always getting pass rushers from us, if we're gonna be real about it, between Tano Pazinho, what's the kid that, what's the dude that can do backflips? What's his name?
Colin Saunders.
Colin Saunders, like all those guys. Like, they love Chiefs defenders.
Oh, man, the New Orleans Chiefs. Yeah. They got Tyrann Mathieu, Colin, and now they got Willie. Oh, man.
Don't forget that they ended up having the safety that used to be play line.
Dirty
Dan Sorensen. So don't forget that. They love your former Chiefs. So we keep it moving. We keep it moving. So the thing about
but before we move on that part about those guys, but to speak on all three of the D linemen, I think that when you see that, some people were saying in the comments on Twitter that some thought that these moves meant that the Chiefs don't like this defensive line class of interior in this draft class, but that's far from the case. Nnadi Pannell, Wharton returns to the defensive line room for the 2024 NFL season, but each are on one-year deals each. So the Chiefs are going to be looking to add another interior defensive lineman in terms of depth and for the future to develop with Chris Jones and George Karlaftis. And they could still address this by using one of their top 100 picks on a defensive tackle who has the tools to two gap and control the inside of the defensive front, because we need capable depth piece able to step in for either starter in the event of a minor injury. So they have Wharton, Pannell as quality rotational pieces, but they could use another who could step in for Chris Jones in third and long situations and penetrate, which would be another weapon for Spag's scheme. So
here's the thought process behind that. Here's the best way I can explain it. The idea is to have as much depth as possible. And I give the Eagles a lot of credit, but yeah. I'm gonna be honest with you, the thought process that I've had for this team has been to get yourself enough linemen. Now they go overboard. Howie goes overboard, and Howie is their GM, is that's what I'm referring to him. I've always referred to him as that. But he's gone overboard where they got like 10 linemen on the thing, so they just rotate them in and out by the by. Fletcher Cox has retired. They just keep their linemen fresh. That's their idea. And I've always wanted to have a defensive line to where you get guys in there because you keep guys fresh, because it's not like, the defensive line is not like the running back system. Like running backs, I don't know how you sub them in so often. Like running backs needs full steam. Like they need to get accustomed to the game in order to start breaking off big runs. Defensive linemen, not so much. You can keep them fresh, keep the guys ready to run, keep the guys ready to go, and get them in there in situational downs. So I think the Chiefs are close to doing that. I don't think they're doing it in the manner that I'm thinking, but they are trying to make sure that they keep enough defensive linemen in the same manner that they keep offensive linemen.
Absolutely.
Because that's their situation on offensive linemen too. So, yeah. So as we move forward, man, as we continue to move forward. We just got done talking about the signings and re-signings.
Yes, now, right.
Now let's talk about some concepts. What's going on? Offensive concepts. We have a good amount of receivers now. I think we probably need one more, at least. But as it stands currently, what is your thought process on that?
All right. And that leads me into segment two, and it's the Chiefs wide receiver alignment. And I'm going to explain to the fans here of what this process is, and it's my process of finding the type of wide receiver the Chiefs are going to look for now after the Browns signing. And this inspiration comes from Pro Football Focus. And in 2018, they made up an article series on the NFL prototypes on each specific position, like defensive backs, defensive linemen, wide receivers. Their formula was used, and I like their formula because it was able, an eye-opener for me because I'm a visual learner, you know, having autism. You see images and you see things clearly in plain sight where they show you the type of receivers or the different types of players. Let's say like defensive backs, press man corner, off man zone corner, the slot corner, single high safety, box safety, the dime linebacker safety, like, you know, the Jamal Adams or the Cam Chancellors, which I hope the Chiefs look for in this draft, that type of safety. But specifically, we're talking about wide receiver. So I decided to use this as a tool to look at what we're looking for. And you got the five different types of categories. That is your shifty slot, your big slot, your deep threat, possession receiver, and routes runner. And out of these five different strokes, which of these five do the Chiefs really need? So going to this segment, we're going to break down which player on the team we got now holds these certain categories and which one is the open one that we don't have. And I'm going to explain why. And we're going to start with number one, our shifty slot receiver. And I'm banking on Kadarius Toney as being one of them. And I know fans are sick of KT and his antics, but this goes along with – and it's just, hear me out what I'm about to say here. And this is what I've said originally as him being as my breakout star as in one of my last episodes. It's a contract season, and rest in peace to the late and great Terrence Paylor. Like he always says, the contract year stays undefeated.
Absolutely.
And remember, yes, and remember, in college, Toney was used like a traditional slot receiver, getting a steady diet of targets over the middle of the field. Florida also used Toney's marionette doll movement patterns to have him make game-breaking cuts all across the field, which put defenders in conflict on almost every snap. If the Chiefs simply watch the film from his 2020 season at Florida and utilize him the same way, you can thank me later. But you just got to put him in the right position, not just use him all the time. You just got to put him in the right mismatches just to get that. And in 2020, Toney provided Kyle Trask, who is now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with a legitimate number one receiver, posting a career-high 70 catches for 984 yards. He was 16 yards away from being a 1,000-yard receiver at Florida that year. And 55 of those receptions and 9 of his 10 touchdowns came from the slot that year. This suggests that whenever he does and he's up, he'll need to accept an extended role working from the slot, particularly against zone looks. His career trajectory from here could be something similar to former Seahawks wide receiver Doug Baldwin. And if he wants it, a lot of his successes in 2020 from the tape as I watched came from the slant routes, working the middle of the field against zone coverage. It's easy and correct to say, we all know Toney drops so many passes. We know that. And it didn't make and he didn't make enough explosive plays like he did when he first came to the team in 2020 with the ball in his hand to justify the wide receiver one hype. But he's shown us that he has the speed, elusiveness, and the yak ability to produce from the slot, excuse me. Doug Baldwin, speaking of him, was known as the shifty slot king for years. And when you look at KT's measurables compared to Doug Baldwin, KT runs a 4.39. He has 9 reps on 225 bench press. Doug Baldwin, 4.48 40, 6 reps on 225 bench press, showing that KT is faster and he's stronger and he can do what Baldwin did, especially if you get him in underneath routes, and he will be deadly. So in other words, 2024 is going to be a make it or break it year for Toney, and his success will lie within the slot if the Chiefs give him that opportunity.
I'm with you on all of those things. I just worry about him being that healthy specimen that we need him to be. He was only healthy all year last year because he wasn't used very often towards the end of it. So these alignments that alignment you won't have all season. And unless you find a guy, now hear me out. The Chiefs, Andy Reid specifically, tends mm-hmm. to like those shifty slot guys, right? And mm-hmm. that was one of the whole reasons the Anthony Thomas was on the team. He wasn't shifty, yes. but he was at least fast, and he was able to use angles to his advantage, right?
Absolutely.
So that's the concepts here that we're looking at. I definitely don't disagree with you. I actually like that. Even with his limited use, we want to make sure that we minimize him staying on the injury report. So you probably won't use it every game, but it is definitely something that you can look forward to. Let's move on to our next one, the big slot.
And the big slot goes to the one and only Big Yeti, Travis Kelce. And when you line him up, Kelce dominates. The slot is no exception. And listen to this 50% of his routes this past year came lined up in the slot. Basically, he's more than a tight end. He's more of a slot wide receiver, 6'5", 250 plus pounds. And he averaged, according to Pro Football Focus, 1.89 yards per route, which is almost 2 yards per route, which would still make him a beast. And it was fifth best in the NFL among all the tight ends in the NFL. Only TJ Hockenson, Taysom Hill, who went from quarterback to now being a full-time tight end, Sam Laporta, and George Kittle were better. You'd have to go back to 2014 to find a season in which Kelce didn't accomplish this feat. That sort of consistency is why he's the prototype for the position, especially in Andy Reid's scheme, just like Rob Gronkowski was for the Patriots, because Kelce was known as the big slot king as well. But I mean, Gronk was, but now Kelce has taken over.
And here's the thing about Big Yeti, Travis Kelce. It's time to start thinking about extending his career and making sure, because he wants to play as long as he can. He's already stated he's going to play until the wheels fall off, right?
Right.
Which denounces the part that I thought he was going to try to retire with his brother and, you know, go into the Hall of Fame together possibly. That's what I thought. But he said he's going to roll with it till the wheels fall off. And you never know when your idea, your thought process changes. You never know when that's going to change. But as of right now, he's probably going to play out the rest of his contract, right? So with that being said, in an effort to make sure he stays healthy for the playoffs, in an effort to make sure he stays healthy for the long run in order to keep him for not just this year but next season, you got to make sure that you keep him out of harm's way. And one of the ways to do that is to keep him in that big slot role, obviously, instead of making him some sort of hybrid and throwing him out there and doing certain things with him that I like, put him at the quarterback position and the running back position, all that kind of stuff. Like, you got to minimize those situations. But I definitely see what you're referring to as far as the big slot for Travis Kelce. Let's move on to our deep threat.
All right. And that goes to the guy that we just got recently, none other than Marquise Brown. This is the thing about deep threats. Deep threats have the ability to alter coverages in a way others can't. You can't have a slow cornerback playing man coverage against mm-hmm. Hollywood Brown without safety help over the top, period. Similarly, there are a lot of receivers with speed, it's knowing how to use that speed that makes Brown so dangerous. And that's what others talk about him in a way. And also, just like with Tyreek Hill, it's the way you use your speed, especially with your game. And he hits his stride length and pace and catches defenders off guard. He attacks their leverage to set up cuts and lurks in blind spots when they make zone drops. He gets wildly open on his cuts, and his speed and quickness are dangerous weapons after the catch too. Brown doesn't have the size. He's 5'9", 165, but he's so quick, DBs have trouble laying hands on him at the line of scrimmage. And like I said originally when I first talked about it in our first segment, he was not the best deep threat coming out of 2019 draft class. It was Mecole Hardman. But between him and Hardman, Brown is the more superior route runner than Hardman. And his game-changing speed and his quickness combined with his route running, with Mahomes throwing him the ball, could give him his first Pro Bowl selection, maybe not almost close to Sammy Watkins, especially what Sammy did on the outside and his explosiveness. He doesn't just have blending 4.33 speed. He knows how to use it. And that's what I like about Brown being our deep threat.
The concept of him having this speed and being able to use it is one of those things that Andy Reid has always been not just familiar with, but always utilizes in his receivers. If you look back when you talk about his Eagles days, DeSean Jackson, he's able to get them in an open field to where that speed could be utilized, where he could create a decent enough gap between your linebackers and your cornerbacks or your linebackers and your safeties in an effort to get you in the open field to make a football move and then take off. Use that speed to your advantage. We've seen him draw it up with players like Mecole. We've seen him even draw it up, obviously, for Tyreek. We've seen him draw it up for a few different receivers. So, obviously, we know that Andy Reid can do that, and that is what Hollywood was brought here for. Now, please, please don't use this and say that Hollywood is going to be Tyreek number two. It's not happening. There's no more Tyreek two. I've seen that narrative out there. I'm not going to call any names, but that's not happening. Hollywood is not Tyreek. Hollywood is not even close to Tyreek. But Hollywood can get the job done, specifically what Andy Reid wants him to do. So as we move on, who's our next guy that we're discussing?
And all right, and this goes to the position, the possession receiver, or you can call it the X or the possession. This is the guy who gets the volume of catches. Possession receivers are known for their ability to turn a heavy target share into consistently moving the chains. No one exemplifies that example better than two guys, DeAndre Hopkins and Davante Adams. When you look at that type of chain mover for the Chiefs, you got to look none other than second year man from SMU, Rashee Rice, who I compared to Davante Adams. That was my pro comparison of him coming out. And last season, he exemplified the possession mode when he only had one of his 105 catches in total with the postseason and the regular season combined were at least thrown 20 yards deep downfield. And you could say that's not good or – you know, because he should have more deep threat catches, like deep catches. But you got to look at the fact that what he did between 0 to 9, 10 to 19 yards in those yards after the catch, he still shows that he is a capable deep threat, which he showed at SMU. But it's indicative of his ability in the short and intermediate range, that where he almost got 1,000 yards in his rookie season. We got to remember, Rashee Rice was 62 yards away from being the Chiefs' first ever rookie receiver to get over 1,000 yards, you know? And Rice will get even better now with Brown's speed, and teams will have to still keep their eye on Rice when he gets open in spaces against zone without being doubled.
Also, we got to look at he's in year two. He's in year two. Yes. So there comes a knowledge when you actually play the NFL game. Every level, there's levels to this thing. When you go from middle school to high school, there's different levels of that. You go from high school to college, different levels of that. And then college to pros. When I started realizing Rashee is actually getting, understanding, and applying his skill set to the game of football, to the NFL level, is when he broke off that one run along the sideline. Because that wasn't his route. That was not his route. He just saw an opening and he took it. And who hit him? Patrick Mahomes just hit him, and he almost ran for a touchdown. Had he had a little bit more speed, he would have ran for a touchdown. I think he was short, like 3 yards. I can't remember who it was against. But he broke that route. He broke that route off, and he saw an opening, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to take this. And Patrick Mahomes saw him because, you know, no matter what the game plan is, Pat loves the long ball. So he's always going to find you downfield. And Rashee saw it and he took it. So that's where I'm coming from. He is learning very well, very quickly for a guy who I thought it was going to take him at least 2 years to learn. But hey, you know, Rashee is learning. So we got our shifty slot in Kadarius Toney. We got our big slot in Big Yeti. We got our deep threat in Hollywood Brown, and then we got our possession receiver with Rashee. Now
you got Brown and Rice. So Brown Rice together. So this is the thing, though. That leads me to that one, as you were going to say, and I'm sorry if I cut you off on that.
But, you're good.
But anyway, that leaves us with one position we need: a route runner, a pure route runner. And I know fans are going to ask, what is a pure route runner that you're talking about? In this case, I could have gone with Justin Watson, but he's been inconsistent in my book. Recently. Once he saw the field, there were plenty of highlight plays and negative plays to support either side of the argument for his sake. Watson does have impressive quickness with the route running ability. That's the ability within your footwork to create separation, to set up deep shots down the sideline and on post plays. But he also had 4 drops that appear to be a result of a lack of focus. So his hands still need to improve, but his overall contributions were much greater this past season than they've been the first 5 years of his career. But that leads me to say, what are you saying? Yes, get a Justin Watson type a body player, but imagine having Justin Watson with the playing ability of Antonio Brown. So that's what I'm talking about. He is the complete outlier. And before you show the clip here, this is the type of guy we're talking about here. Antonio Brown, yes, he was listed at 5'10", 181 pounds. But you got to remember, from 2013 to 2017, when he was with the Steelers, he averaged about 116 catches, 1,500, almost 1,600 yards receiving, and 10 touchdowns per year. Those numbers would be a career year for any elite receiver in the NFL. And like you're going to see here on this play against the Tennessee Titans in 2017, Antonio Brown was renowned for his route running and the ability to gain separation against bigger and faster defensive backs. And unlike this play here, Brown shows how much he's a true technician, putting on a full display of skill sets just like this right here. Look at that. The footwork to gain separation and to locate the ball. And look, old friend alert, Juju Smith-Schuster, number 19 at the time there. See him at inside right slot going against, I don't know who that guy is, but look at his footwork. Just to fight it off. Hand-eye coordination to locate the ball, make that contested catch. We know it's a helmet catch, but that was such one of the best catches I've seen from AB. And route running in the NFL takes a considerable degree of dedication and nuance. NFL defenders are able to watch every snap and every target for a specific player for their entire career. If a receiver doesn't vary his release and route stems, he will get beat by smart defense backs. Brown was a consummate professional in this regard, and he ran the same route in multiple ways each game, never allowing the opposition to get a handle on his style, just like you saw in that play there. That's the type of player that we need. Doesn't matter the size, as long as he makes the contested catches and he's a dog. The ability to get open as well as finish plays is what they need to look for in this draft class of receiver talent. So,
give me some examples of what you're looking for.
Okay.
You're looking at.
Okay, so I'm going to just throw some names out there. But before you show the guys that we're talking about, you got guys like Arizona's Jacob Counting and Georgia's Lat Konkey, who are great examples of that type of AB size player. But the Chiefs are going to look for somebody who has the same playing ability, but with Justin Watson's size. You know, Justin Watson's 6'3", 200 pounds. You've got to at least be 6 feet, 6'1", and be at least 200 pounds. And we all know Marvin Harrison Jr. is the unanimous best wide receiver and best route runner in this draft class. But he won't even be there for the Chiefs to get. He's a top three, top five pick.
Yeah.
So that's why I like guys like South Carolina's Xavier Leggett. And we all know Xavier Leggett has been getting a lot of views on social media, especially for his Southern accent. But who cares, man? Just like Tip Rodman from Illinois, who say he doesn't believe in birds. I don't care if this guy has a funny accent, just like when people made fun of Pat when he first came onto the scene, when his voice, like Travis Kelce and Tyreek said that they made fun of his voice when he first opened his mouth. This guy could ball. Leggett was another combine standout as he showcased his speed on the field through the 2023 season, including one of the plays you're going to show here, that blistering 76-yard touchdown against Mississippi State in South Carolina's fourth game of the year, where he came away with a reception of 30 yards or more. Ooh, look at him, man. In 8 games last season, smart, savvy player who knows the ins and outs of the game like the back of his hand, a physical player before and after the catch, just like you saw there. Top shelf size at 220-plus pounds, 4.39 speed, elite-level ball skills in hands, breaks tackles, makes defenders miss routinely, runs away from defenders in space. Andy Reid loves to get creative with these type of players, and Leggett would have a chance to really shine as the third option in this offense. And, you know, they love to move Tyreek Hill around the formation, like Mecole Hardman and Kadarius Toney in the horizontal passing game. I would imagine they could use Leggett in the same fashion. Having Brown take the top off of the defense, leaving Kelce, Rice, and Leggett to feast underneath would be a fun thought for Chiefs fans and would be very terrifying for the rest of the league. So, if it's not Leggett, how about the best hands receiver in this draft class? And we're talking about best hands. We're talking about somebody who rarely drops passes thrown his way. And we'll go to the University of Washington, and we can talk about Rome Odunze. And Rome Odunze is one of those guys that everybody loves and everything like that. But I'm talking about his teammate, Jalen Pollock. He is known as the best hands wide receiver, according to Pro Football Focus. Pollock may not have the best catch percentages, but he posted solid numbers. And the way he makes it look when he brings in passes makes it more impressive. Over the last two seasons with Washington, he secured over 90% of his catchable passes and has a 53% contested catch percentage, which is one of the top 15 best among the top prospects in this draft class, even better, some better than Marvin Harrison Jr. and even Malik Nabers, which is crazy. And he has acrobatic ability and strength to bring in the football, which is what stands out to me on tape. He has 9.75%, which is basically almost close to 10-inch hands, which maximizes his entire catch radius. Pollock isn't a burner, but makes himself into an unconventional deep threat with the ability to haul in those contested catches and wins 50-50 balls with physicality at the catch point, leaping, great leaping ability, amazing body control that you will see on film, and great, great hands. And when you see this man, he's like a cross between Adam Thielen and George Pickens. He has the talent to be a true outside receiver. Like you see that, man, them acrobatic catches, just like we saw Antonio Brown on that play against the Titans, makes those great plays. He has the talent where Mahomes has never really had consistently before since Sammy Watkins. He could probably be better than Sammy. This offense was at its best when Sammy was on the outside. And Polk has, yeah. Did I say Pollock? I mean, Polk. Jalen Polk.
Yes, Jalen.
Okay, Jalen Polk. Jalen Polk. Excuse me, people. Jalen, excuse me if I got it wrong. Jalen Polk. Polk has the talent to be that type of guy for Kansas City on the outside. And, well, for me, if I had to pick either of those guys, it would be Leggett if you can get him.
Absolutely.
I think he's the best. He could do everything. Absolutely. He can give you the big playability, but also he could do a lot of dirt work on third down and in the red zone. And he would give Mahomes a lot of free yards after the catch, and that would be my choice. But when you look at the four guys, Leggett, Polk, McConkey, and Counting, Mahomes would make a start out of any of these four guys. But I would go with Leggett.
With Leggett, Leggett has a frame. He's durable. He's fast. He's durable. I see a guy that will work so well in this system when I look at Leggett. Polk, you actually put me on to Polk. I did not know about Polk before.
Jalen Polk, not Pollock. Jalen Polk.
Yeah.
Get that right.
I was going to talk to you about it. But, hey, I definitely got put on to Jalen Polk, and he's definitely got some skills that can be used. So with that being said, now we've discussed who could be that route runner, in the Chiefs wide receiver alignment prototype. And we discussed about Xavier Leggett or
Jalen Polk. Yes.
So as we close this segment out, we have one more segment, and that, of course, is our mock draft. But as we move forward, I do think it would behoove us to probably look deeper into some more players. One of these days we'll look into maybe we'll highlight it next episode. What other receivers could play that route running role in the wide receiver prototype, because I'm be honest with you, this gave me a little bit of made me want to go look it up a little bit more, because I definitely didn't know about Jalen Polk. So with that being said, we with time behooving us, we need to move on. As we move on to PMax mock draft 5.0. So
all right,
with our mock draft, we got our first pick at number 32.
All right. And once again, I did the Pro Football Focus mock draft simulator. I like to be graded on the picks I made. And excuse me, I just had a text from my fam. I won't ignore that for a little bit there. One of the three best interior defensive linemen in that mock draft dropped because of the rise of other prospects, like guys like Byron Murphy or his teammate Tavondre Sweat from Texas. And teams need and based off of team needs, this player would be a best player available pick for the Chiefs. Better defensive line play makes pass rushers Chris Jones and George Karloftis more dangerous. Nice moves re-signing Derek Nnadi, Mike Pinnell, and Tershawn Wharton, but those players could be gone in a year. So despite dropping significantly in his mock draft, Brett Veach still gets a premium player, and that is Illinois' All-American Jerzon Johnny Newton, who has the goods to anchor this group alongside Jones and Furious George for a long time. Newton provides serious rotational value at multiple spots. He is able to rush from a zero technique, one technique, three tech, and has the speed to get upfield. He's an explosive athlete and closes quickly upfield, as you see here. Man, look at him going in, closing in on the quarterback with that speed and that lateral quickness. He would be a nightmare on twists and stunts with Jones. But because of his size, 6'3", 304 pounds, he will struggle against double teams, and he'll probably get knocked back a few. But he resembles Justin Madubuike, who I wanted the Chiefs to get if Jones wasn't going to come back. But that's what I see in
lock it.
Drop, but I don't see him dropping that far.
Lockett to start for Tanner Mordecai. Oh, my goodness! Just crushed by Newton, and a flag comes down.
I'm telling you, I see plays from him, and I've seen Newton in a few games. I don't watch a lot of college football, but I've seen him. He's flashed off the screen, and he definitely screams first-round talent, right? One thing I did like about him is they moved him, as you mentioned. He's one technique, two technique. He can do it, you know. You can move him, even though his frame is bigger, He can rush from the outside. He can rush from the inside. And I do believe that whatever defensive tackle that they get with FAU, Felix Anudike Uzomah, with him being one of the guys that's going to come into this game this year, who's going to be more of a guy that you'll see more often in this rotation. Having a guy like this will take pressure off of Chris Jones. You know, that if he comes in and he learns quickly, he won't take snaps from, but having him in there will get you, you can get the three, four defensive sets, or you can get the 4-3 defensive sets. You can even go 4-4 with the guys we have in linebacker. Like, there are a great amount of options that you could do with a Jazon Newton if you draft him, and it also gives Spags another pass rusher. Spags with weapons, that's the last thing that the league needs. Let's go to number two. Which I'm surprised at this pick, because I thought he might not be a first round talent, but with the press that he's getting over the last couple of weeks, he might be a first round talent. Let's go.
All right. And this guy was another steal for me at number 64, and he's available because of the other wide receiver talent that would probably be selected before him. While the Chiefs have a loaded group of talented receivers, even adding Brown, the Chiefs still appears to have a bunch of number two receivers. So a plan needs to place a young, savvy receiver that can win versus press coverage and separate on slants and quick game routes. And South Carolina's Xavier Leggett, who's a freak athlete at 6'3", 220, probably 227, who's fast, explosive, precise, and productive, would fix that. He can run through arm tackles, put moves on defenders in open field, and head off to the races with his 4.39 speed at 220-plus pounds. Slant routes are especially terrifying. He catches in stride at full speed, bursts past the cornerback covering him with just middle of the field safety and backside pursuit to beat. Defensive coordinators playing the Chiefs will get nightmares just thinking about it. He would become a great weapon with size in the passing game with his speed on deep routes and his yards after the catch ability in the short passing game. He could very easily be wide receiver three on the Chiefs depth chart come week one, which should see him get some playing time early on in the season.
I can't say enough about Xavier Leggett. I really like his tape, his film, the speed that he possesses at his size is really amazing. He doesn't have a slender frame, so he definitely has a bulkier frame, which theoretically will help him with it will help him minimize the injuries, theoretically now. But seeing him separate in coverage, seeing him separate those split defenders and get downfield on this play was amazing. Normally you see smaller, shiftier receivers being right there. Normally you see the smaller receivers being able to do that. But he's not, don't get me wrong, he's not a huge guy, but he's normally you see the smaller, shiftier guys like your DeSean Jacksons, those guys. But this dude
has. He looks like a faster Dwayne Bowe.
This dude has the speed, the wheels, and the hands are there too, as was displayed in this clip right here.
Yeah.
Right there. And one of the things I noticed I loved about that clip and the reason I chose it was because that's a play that Patrick Mahomes would absolutely run. That's a play, the rollout to the right, that's a play that absolutely would get run. So let's move on to our number three pick. We'll get – now, for y'all that don't know, we will get to a seven-round mock eventually, but as of now, we're building up to it. Let's go.
Yes, yes. And last but not least, the third round running back tradition on this mock also lives on here again for another episode. Last episode, I selected Michigan's Blake Corum. Yeah, man, I love Blake Corum, man. Chiefs, please, man. I hope you guys are watching that tape. But if you guys are not, this time it's Oregon's Bucky Irving with the 95th overall pick. Irving is a great pick at this spot for the Chiefs. With the potential loss of Jerick McKinnon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the Chiefs need to add to the backfield so Irving could sooner rather than later figure consistently in the Chiefs' passing game. Irving is a versatile threat who carries the ability to make defenders miss into the run and passing games. Speaking of the passing game, Irving is dynamic in the flats and on screens. Despite having a 4.55 40 speed, he has the vision, the patience, and the short area quickness to run through those holes just like Alvin Kamara. That's my comparison of him. And one of my other favorite running backs in this draft class besides Corum is USC running back Marshawn Lloyd, who is another option to consider at this spot if it's not Irving or Corum, because they are known for also missing a lot of tackles. But Irving gets also that nod because he's top three in missed tackles forced per attempt, which is 0.38 with nearly 200 carries according to Pro Football Focus. And Irving is so compact and strong on contact that he can bounce off tackles with good contact, but he also has the fast footwork with that short area quickness to put his foot in the ground and to make a hard cut to put defenders on a highlight reel. And he would be lethal in the Chiefs offense out of the shotgun. He would be very similar to Jerick McKinnon and also Alvin Kamara in terms of his style and play speed.
You're killing me with the third round running back, man. You're killing me with the third round running back. I mentioned it last week with Blake Corum. I do like Blake. Don't get me wrong. I do like Blake. But the idea of drafting the third round running back is interesting to me. And the only reason I say it's interesting is because you were able to find your current running back in the sixth or seventh round. And that seems a little rich for my blood for a running back. However, with that being said, I'm not the expert on these things. Like, if there is dynamics to be had, there's dynamics to be had, and you can have it at third round. Because we got to understand, for me, when I look at third round in picks, they are probably maybe a half a year away to a year away from giving you legit production, some of them, depending upon the draft, you know. So, but these are two guys that could give you production almost right away between Corum and Irving. Those are guys that could give you production right away, especially with our offensive line. Hopefully we'll probably eventually draft an offensive lineman. But looking at also his catching ability, which intrigues me a lot. So he finds space. He's strong enough to, as you saw the stiff arm here, and the agility moves, like right there, just being able to get that first down. Being able to get that first down. And on this play, you see where he used that stiff arm to get into the end zone. Right there. Yeah. Get off me. Mm. And then twice. So I definitely like
Never went down.
I definitely like his low center of gravity, all of that. So Bucky Irving, running back from Oregon with the 95th pick. That is what's up. With that being said, I'm interested to see where the Chiefs decide they want to go this year. And again, we will have a seven round mock, and we're of course going to use the Chiefs picks. And I know Brett Veach is going to wheel and deal and move up and down and move up and down. That's just what he does. But to recap, today we discussed the signings and re-signings, and then we dealt with the Chiefs wide receiver alignment prototype and who could be that route runner that we needed.
that contested catch king.
Yeah. And so, and then of course we had our mock draft, and we always have a mock draft. So
always.
With that being said, we want to thank everybody for watching and listening to the show. We appreciate all the likes. Please like and subscribe to Chiefs Focus. And by the by, this show is going to be found under the Chiefs Focus umbrella of podcast shows. So if you're looking for us on the podcast, go look for Chiefs Focus, and then you'll see this show under the Chiefs Focus brand. And just look for War Room with PMAC in the episodes, and you will find it there. Thank you. Thank you all for listening. PMAC, what you have for us to close us out?
Like my man did said right here, like and subscribe. If you guys are watching on YouTube, follow us on Twitter, X. Also look us up on Facebook. And yes, look us up on Apple Podcasts and Podbean. And with that, I look forward to seeing you guys in the next episode of the War Room with PMAC. And once again, thank you guys for joining us this morning. And peace, deuces.